Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the third Sunday of Lent. And let's get into our checklist, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. And let's get to it. A reading from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17, verses 3 through 7. And here it is. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here in thirst, with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand, as you go, the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Exodus today, we see Moses truly challenged by the people that he has brought through great struggles. And now he's faced with a problem of thirst, a necessity that we all need to drink water, to eat food. And so the Lord, who provides for us infinitely, takes command of the situation, but not before Moses cries out to the Lord. And he says, "What shall I do with this people?" And there are times, my friends, when you and I will be in the same situation, in that we too will throw our hands up in the air and ask for the Lord to help us, especially with our children who may not cooperate, who want to do what feels good or go down a path that is opposite to what the Lord is telling us to do. It's an important analogy today we look at in the book of Exodus, where we learn from the experience of Moses how God took care of the people, how he provided. And Moses did exactly what he was told to do. And so, you know, today we see a lot of parents struggling in parenting their children. And really, the answer is to go to the Lord in prayer and to ask for God's help in raising our children, our grandchildren. And there are all kinds of examples of struggles and challenges and hurdles that we have to overcome as parents, because many times, very often, our kids do not listen to their parents. And they will do what you do, but not what you tell them to do very often. And it's just a function of children growing up and fighting for independence, fighting for the right to do what they want to do. And some of the challenges we know in going through parenting are the boyfriends, the girlfriends that come through their lives, and also getting a driver's license, borrowing a car, buying a car, getting freedom, getting wheels, if you will, to go out and do what you want to do and when you want to do it. And so this is where we have to ask God for his help in raising our kids and truly, you know, bearing the hardship, the burden, if you will, because family life is a blessing, but it can very much be a burden. I remember times where, you know, there were kids who went out for the night and didn't come back on time, maybe came in very late, were non-contactable on their phones, and came up with all kinds of excuses of why they couldn't answer the phone. But I just tell you, God brings us through, and he helps us to endure, to persevere in the fight for parenting, you know, truly in a positive way. The other struggle is getting our kids to go to church. And very often, kids will not comply with the request to go to church. And I'll just tell you that in teaching the confirmation class over at St. Mary's Cathedral, we have been blessed with many great students who are showing up each and every Wednesday night. But it's not without challenge for them as well, because last week's class, I asked each and every student, what time did you wake up? And some of the answers were about 5:10, 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m. And they went to school all day, and then they come home and go to class from 6 to 8. And then they have homework to do. That's the other question I always ask. How many still have homework to do when they get home? So it's a long day, and we want to give credit to our kids for doing the right things and doing all that they are doing to maintain, you know, truly a focus on their faith, to getting their schoolwork done. And, you know, we try to do the best we can as parents, but let's give our kids some credit for the good things that they do and not always look at, you know, parenting as a disciplinarian, but to also give them credit for the good things they do, which is so important because, you know, there is so much pressure put on them to study, to do papers, to take tests, to get into high school or get into college, to go to work part-time, and then to study, you know, for their confirmation. And so they are really a challenge as well. So let's give them some credit if you can. As we journey into the Lenten season, the third week of Lent, let's remember that our kids are a blessing, sometimes a burden, but mostly a blessing and God-given. You know, let's give them credit for the good things that they do this week. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. And 5 to 8. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Romans today, from the heart and mind of St. Paul to the people of Rome, we are told, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is important, my friends. The question I have for you this morning is, do you have peace with God? If not, maybe your relationship with God needs some work. What do you think? Where do you stand today in terms of peace? Are you dealing with something that goes against the Word of God? Are you involved with what God says not to do and need to make changes? I want you to think about that objectively. And what is the number one change you need to make today to get aligned with God? And I ask you now to really get on your knees and silently pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him for guidance and direction, and ask Him to truly take over your life and help you to get that alignment that brings the peace of God into your heart and mind. And there's no better place to be, my friends, than to be at peace with God. We don't want to be, you know, in a position where we are averse to God or in opposition to God, because this is going to be a losing battle for us, I can tell you that. And God calls us to submit, to do things His way. And once again, He says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so no one comes to the Father except through the Son. And this is important. You know, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So in going through our Lord Jesus, getting that relationship with Him, pleasing Him, submitting to Him, understanding His word, His way of doing things, and embracing them, applying them to our daily life, the Lord Jesus Christ will give us peace with our Father in heaven. Where else would you want to be? The word goes on to say that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So through the Holy Spirit, we have been given a tremendous amount of love from God. The love of God is the most powerful gift that we can ever give or receive to another person. There's no check you can write. The love of God is powerful. Are we distributing the love of God to our families, our children, our spouses, to other people? Or are we holding back? God calls us to share our faith and to do it with the love of God. As role models, my friends, we need to think about that and to take action to bring the love of God to other people. And that's been given to us through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So our hearts are full if we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if we open up the Word of God daily and learn from it, hunger for it, thirst for it. It is important, my friends, because God has given it to us as a gift. We have been justified by faith. Faith is a gift. And the Word of God goes on to say that God proved His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean to you and I? That Christ died for us while we were sinners. Has anyone ever done anything extraordinary for you, like dying for you? Jesus has. He's the only one who really puts out. He's a finisher. He completes the job. And he does it so that we have access to eternal life with our Father in heaven. We are forgiven for our sins. The Lord dies for our sins. He does it for you and for me. And it's powerful. But God proves his love by giving his Son to us 2,000 years ago. And then he dies after being crucified and beaten. And then he rises from the dead. No one has ever done that for me except the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is that powerful, my friends, that they can endure the beating that Jesus took on the road to Calvary. And we identify those each and every week in the Stations of the Cross on Fridays during the season of Lent. We identify those in the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning of Jesus with thorns, the carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Do you and I have compassion for what took place 2,000 years ago, what Jesus did for us, even though we're sinners, that he died for us? Do we have compassion that our Blessed Mother Mary was there watching her son as he took a beating for us, as he died for us? Do we have compassion? Do we understand it? Do we renew this event in our minds, which is so devastating, so incredible an event that world time is based on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ? This is the year 2023. And that year is based on the Lord's death and resurrection. That's how powerful an event it is. But what does this mean to you? Or does it mean nothing to you? Do we talk about it? Do we study the Word of God? Do we get intimate with Jesus? Do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? God calls us to this. And once again, God has poured out the love of God into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So as we journey through the Lenten season, I want you to open up the Word of God and become familiar with the pages, with the Scripture, with the events that took place 2,000 years ago that lead up to the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you, my friends, to do it today. Let's go to our gospel reading from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. And here it is. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said to him, I do not have a husband. Jesus answered her, You are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one who you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, What are you looking for? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, Could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to him, My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, In 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, what a blessing it is, my friends, to receive the Word of God, which tells us this: if you know the gift of God, and who is saying to you, give me a drink of water, you would have asked him and would have given, he would have given you living water. What does the gift of God mean to you? And truly, you know, faith is a gift. And having God as a gift is the greatest blessing we can ever receive in our life, my friends. But do we realize it? Do we understand it? Do we know it? Do we celebrate it each and every day? The gift of God. For those who don't have God in their lives, in other countries, those who are persecuted because of having faith in God, those who are incarcerated for celebrating Mass, those who are atheists, agnostics, those who are opposed to the Word of God and to faith in God because they want to be more powerful than God. There is an entity out there, my friends, who is averse to the gift of God, who doesn't want to accept it. And it's all rooted in one person, Satan himself, the devil, Diablo. What does the gift of God mean to you? Once again, it should mean everything. Having the ability to pray, the ability to go to church, the ability to share your faith with other people. In the Wings program, we talk about having balance spiritually, mentally, and physically. And the spiritual side is for the soul. And when the soul is empty, the mind can be in depression. You cannot be in depression and still have faith because God lifts us up spiritually, taking care of our heart and mind. And it's powerful. The Word of God says, everyone who drinks this living water will be thirsty. This water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give you will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that's what the Lord gives us, that living water. He is the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God, and he brings to us that living water where once we have him, we have peace with God, and we have our thirst has been quenched, and it's powerful as long as we stay with God. And the Lord says, you know, to believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. But the hour is coming and is nowhere when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Are we worshiping the Father? Are we worshiping the Son? Are we identifying with the Holy Spirit and the blessings of having the Spirit within us? Are we taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit? We have many messages here in this Gospel of John this morning. Question for you and I, my friends, do we understand what we have in front of us in the Gospel of Jesus Christ? I challenge you this week, the third Sunday of Lent, to get more intimate with the Word of God and to prepare for the weekend's readings for the third Sunday of Lent and to put those readings into action. Take the Word of God to a higher standard and to apply it to our own lives, my friends, and to remember that the gift of God is the most powerful gift we can ever receive in our lives. We have that gift. It's up to you and I to identify it, to apply it to our lives, and to share our faith with other people. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio at Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.